These scenes are from a radio play I've been working on, tentatively called So Much Better, for reasons that should be obvious from the first scene. This first scene features Temporary Butterfly and Leave Me Alone.
Almost done, Beth?
Hi, Sherry. 5 o'clock already, huh? Yeah, let me just close up this file.
Got any plans for tonight?
Oh, yeah, right. My social calendar is just filled.
I thought there might be somebody you haven't told me about.
Not this month. Besides, you're always the first one I tell. Okay, that's done. You can tell me all about it on the way to the parking lot.
What makes you think there's anything to tell?
What? With your little cat that swallowed the cream smile? I know you too well, and you're just dying to tell me about it.
Well, you know that tuna steak recipe I tried out on you guys?
Oh, I remember those. My twin loved them.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
And they're finally making their official debut with Steven.
Yep, they're sitting in the fridge all ready to be heated up. If he doesn't go nuts over them, he's hopeless.
I think he may be anyway, hon.
Ev, come on.
I don't like the way he treats you.
It's not like he hurts me or anything.
Yeah, it's just a bit of neglect. He doesn't appreciate you, Sherry.
I admit, I'd like him to work a bit harder at this relationship.
Or at all. Is he at least taking you out somewhere after this dinner you're cooking for him?
Maybe. Or maybe not.
You're making it too easy on him, hon.
Oh, that's him! Hello? Excuse me. Come up. What do you mean something's come up?
I knew it.
Steven, darling, you had to go out of town last week, remember? And the week before? And you promised you would make it up to me? What? Of course I'm not angry. Okay. Okay. See you then. Bye-bye. He did it again, then. I go out of my way for him, and he's flying here and there. I had to make a presentation to a customer, Sherry. Or, sorry, babe, I had to go negotiate to a supplier. Why can't he negotiate with me? It's like he's not even trying. Is that so much to ask?
Of course it's not too much to ask. That's the point. You're making it too easy for him.
Do you have any idea how long it took me to make the sauce for that recipe? And the string beans? I spent 40 minutes picking up the tenderest pieces just for him and cutting them just right so they would look good on the plate.
He's a bastard. You're too good for him, hun.
I know. I'm too good for all the guys I date. Do you think that helps? At least Steven can be affectionate and he's great at... Damn it. Everything's too good for him. That tuna steak. I'm gonna feed it to my cat. That'll teach him.
I didn't think Cowgirl liked your fancy cooking.
Well, she'll just have to choke it down because he's not getting it.
No, Sherry, don't do anything stupid.
Stupid? Maybe I'm just being smart, Beth. He owes me. He's going to have to grovel to get back in my good graces. At least my cat appreciates me. Cats are so much better than men, Beth. Who needs men when cats are way better at making you feel special and giving you unconditional love and affection? Cats are clean. They are soft. They're warm. They don't require birth control. You don't have to put on makeup or do your hair when they come around. When they want you to feed them, they appreciate what you put in front of them. If only cats were human, they would be the perfect lovers.
Sherry.
Never mind me, Beth. I'm just rambling. I'm just so aggravated right now. I had this whole evening planned for the two of us.
I understand. Look. Why don't you come over tonight? Girls' night out, just the two of us. We'll do something crazy together. We'll... Whoa! What was that? Whoops! A black cat just ran across our path. That's supposed to be bad luck, you know. Maybe we should just stay in and send Austin out.
Nonsense. How can something so sweet as that be bad luck? Look at him.
That sweet cat just swiped something from a dumpster, Sherry. I wouldn't get too close if I were you.
Beth? Thing is starving. Hey, little guy. Oh, you wish there was more, don't you, fella? No, you don't want to go back into that nasty dumpster, you precious thing.
Sherry, what are you doing? Put that thing down.
I have an idea, Beth. Thanks for the invite, but I have some revenge to plan.
With a stray cat? Sherry, what kind of crazy...
I bet this little guy would love to eat nasty Steven's tuna steak. Maybe I'll send him a picture of this cat eating his dinner with the caption, "This is the new guy in my life."
You're going to keep him? I don't think Cowgirl will take too kindly to you bringing a new cat into the house.
No, I'm not going to keep him. I'm just going to feed him Steven's dinner and let him go. I get the picture, Kitty gets a meal, and Steven gets the shaft. Good times all around.
Oh boy.
Alright. Temporary butterfly and leave me alone. I don't have a whole lot to say about this scene. I think it was interesting. Because I assume you guys recorded separately, but somehow the more you got into the scene, the more you guys connected. It felt a little disjunct at the beginning when they're in the office, but the more they talk in the parking lot, the more they start to sound very, very natural and they start to sound very much like friends, which I don't know if you guys... practice beforehand or recorded, or did everything on your own. I don't know, but that was a very interesting effect. The energies, I would guess that you probably didn't because the energies didn't really match between the characters right away, which I think is another thing lending to what I said before. The characters not meshing up until closer to the end of the scene. But they sound like friends. I guess I like the deliveries. I like the emotion that each of you had, but for the most part, they just kind of sounded one note. You both stayed at the same energy level for your respective characters. And I really didn't hear a whole lot of change until, the cat crossed their path. Beth got upset and concerned about the cat, being infected with germs and having been in the dumpster. And Sherry thinking about, oh, what kind of revenge can I do and trying to lure the cat over? But otherwise, it was a nice listen. I guess that's all I have to say about that. Russ?
I don't have an awful lot more to say. Leave me alone. I like the voice you used in here, especially after your comment the last time about only having an anime voice. This is a very nice, mature voice. Mm-hmm. I realized I didn't tell you how old the characters were. But you sounded mid-20s in this, which is exactly what Bethany is supposed to be. Your interpretation was a very blasé, a bit jaded character, which is not the way I thought of the character, but I think it works, mostly. Temporary Butterfly, were a lot more emotional than I expected. But again, I think it basically works. There were some little things that I liked. I liked the way Leave Me Alone said, with Steven. But yeah, I do have to agree that you sort of found the feeling you were going for and stayed with it the whole time. I'm not sure whether there was a way I could have scripted it differently so that there were a lot more of emotional moments in it. So I'm not sure I want to criticize you too heavy on that. But I think overall it was fun to listen to. First time I've ever heard the scene, of course. I think it was not a bad job. All right, so we're going to go on to the next scene. Now, those of you who can count have probably noticed that we only have four contestants now. We Lex the Archer did not submit. And as a result, you're not going to hear the scene that she was going to do. Which would actually explain what's going on in the story.
We should have done the scene.
Yeah, we probably should have. I think we were a little tired, but we could have. Basically, what happens when Sherry gets home with the cat, she feeds it, and she discovers this cat is not an ordinary cat. Rather, this is actually a man who's been cursed to be a cat. Think Frog Prince, only with cats, sort of. Except that he turns human only for short periods of time, and then turns back into a cat, which is kind of inconvenient. In the it will wind up being the subject of some discussion. The cat and the man are named Prince, and her friends obviously know now she is keeping this cat named Prince. They don't know about the man, who is the cat in disguise. But that's just some of the background that I hope you have not excessively confused you. So as we go to listen to the next scene, which has Eleven Linda as Bethany and Skywish as Sherry.
Well, that was kind of a waste of time, wasn't it?
You didn't like the show?
Oh, the show was great.
So it was the company that was the problem.
I mean, the men who were sitting behind us.
I didn't notice.
Of course not. You got this steady boyfriend. Why should you notice other guys?
Aside from the fact that he's so steady that I had to ask a girlfriend to go with me tonight.
So you had a fight. You know he's gonna come around when you need him, don't you?
Most of the time. So what about the men behind us?
Well, they looked single and I sort of exchanged looks with one of them when we sat down. And I caught him looking at me when I peeked back partway through the first act.
I can't believe I didn't notice.
Turns out you didn't miss much. At intermission, the two of them stood up and went into the lobby, holding hands.
Oh, Beth, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I finally figured out he was only staring at me because I had a piece of tissue stuck to the back of my blouse. I don't want to sound desperate or anything, but that was kind of humiliating. It's so easy for you, Sherry. You even have this other guy on the side in case you get tired of Steven.
What other guy?
You know, the guy you gave your apartment key to.
What are you talking about?
Prince Starling. The guy you named your cat after.
What?
When I came to feed your cats. Remember when you and Steven were in Acapulco? He was there taking a shower.
He was?
You didn't know? He said you left a key for him just in case he needed a place to crash.
I didn't expect him to actually show up. I mean, you never really know with him.
So, I figured he was someone really special. I mean, you don't hand your key to just any guy, do you? Does Steven know you had it?
No! I mean, he's not anyone special. That is, he's a bit odd. And we were joking around, and I guess he said he might be in town one day? And I sort of told him he could crash at my place if he needed to. I mean, I didn't expect him to ever actually do it.
And the name?
I guess the cat just really reminded me of him. What a coincidence. I mean, me finding Prince and then the original Prince showing up? Pretty funny, huh?
So, there's nothing between you two?
Absolutely not. We're just friends. Acquaintances. I barely know him.
Pity. He's kind of cute. Seemed like a nice guy. I wonder how you described me so that he knew who I was.
Oh, I probably just said that you were my friend and would be in to feed the cats. I mean cat. Cowgirl. That is, if I ever weren't there and he stopped by and a friend came in to feed cowgirl, it would be you. Probably.
Uh-huh.
Not that it really matters. After all, he's never showed up before and probably won't again, right? So we can stop talking about him. He's nobody, really.
If you say so. I don't know why you didn't just ask him to go out with you.
Well, it's not like he lives nearby or anything. Besides, I'm not ready to give up on Steven just yet. Besides, Prince and I aren't even that close.
Oh, please. Come on, Sherry. He was in your apartment. And don't give me that whole he needs a place to crash when he was passing through garbage. You know perfectly well that he lives right here.
What?
It's not exactly the most common name, is it? Prince Starling? I looked him up online. There's only one in the whole country, and he lives right here in town.
Oh! Wait, why were you looking him up?
I was curious. He was cute and seemed nice, and he said there was nothing between you guys, even though you let him use your place. And I thought... Actually, I don't know what I thought. but finding out he was local was a real surprise.
Did you try calling him?
No, what would I even have said? I don't understand your relationship with him and why you're keeping it such a secret. I mean, obviously you can't tell Steven, but why can't you tell me?
There's nothing to tell, really. He's just a friend.
Then why don't you be a friend and fix me up with him?
I don't think he's really your type.
My type? At this point, my type probably means somebody male and breathing. Don't be greedy.
I don't think he'd be interested.
Why? What's wrong with me? All this time we've been friends, and now you're telling me the guys aren't attracted to me? I mean, he's not gay or anything, is he?
No, of course. I mean, yes, of course he is. I mean, that's why we're friends, and there's nothing between us, and it really doesn't matter because he's gay.
Figures. I seem to be attracting them lately. I think every guy in town took one look at me and decided to come out of the closet all at once.
Don't be so hard on yourself. There's a guy out there for you.
Yeah, it's the out part that worries me.
Skywish and 11 Linda. Again, I don't have a whole lot to say about this scene. You both sounded very nice. I like the connection you guys had as friends. I think you guys had a very natural connection. It was very believable, the relationship that you guys have listening to the scene. And the reactions felt very natural. The thing about the two guys who ended up being gay and Beth being really inquisitive about Prince and Sherry's panic. It's interesting to me that it seems, and you can, and maybe I'm wrong, but it's kind of, it sounded to me, if I can complete a sentence, what I'm trying to say is, it sounded like between this scene and the first scene with Temporary Butterfly and Leave Me Alone, that Sherry's characters kind of are kind of similar in their delivery of energy, and Beth's are as well, except I think 11 Linda had a little more of an attitude in hers. But I just found that really interesting because, you know, I don't think any of them agreed on it. I don't know what kind of character notes you gave to the actors, but Russ, but I just thought that was really interesting.
I didn't give nearly as much as I should have, but yes, they both came up with roughly the idea. I hope that means it was in the script.
Yes.
I'm going to go with that answer. It's in the line. It's in the script.
Yeah. 11 Linda, Beth, I liked your delivery of talking about the two guys behind you in the theater and your reactions to Sherry and all of her panic. And Sherry, I love your panic. Those are all the notes I've got. Russ?
I don't have too much more to say than that. I like the variation you had, Skywish, in feelings, going from the sympathetic laughing at the beginning to panicking when Beth starts asking you questions you don't want to answer. Lev and Linda, I like the way you pried in there. You had a bit of the self-mocking that I was hoping for in the scene. In fact, the most negative things I'm going to get is I'm going to now pull the cover off and give you some notes as the mixer, you know, which most, you know, other people don't usually hear, but it's important for you to note for when sending lines to other people. Skywish, while your emotion, your readings of the lines basically worked almost all the time, it's very good because generally when I got three takes from you, I got three takes that were almost the same take each time. And it was relatively easy to pick. They weren't that different. There are easy ways for you to vary just by changing the emphasis on which word you're emphasizing. For example, your line, "What about the men behind us?" You said it, "What about the men behind us? What about the men behind us? What about the men?" It is basically about the same. Some variations you didn't try were, "What about the men behind us? What about the men behind us? What about the men behind us? What about, you know, there are different ways you can change the meaning of a line just by changing which word you emphasize. In this case, the reading you gave was okay. I was really hoping for the what about the men behind us, but this one worked. But it's something to keep in mind when you can't think of how to vary a reading. Just pick a different word to emphasize. It may make no sense at all. On the other hand, depending on what the mixer's looking for, what the other actors do, it might help a lot. Eleven Linda, you very often did give me variation on takes. Unfortunately, sometimes the way you varied them was by putting long pauses between words. Originally, I was going to try doing this by not editing within takes, but listening to a few lines with very, very long pauses, I was going crazy. I said, I'm breaking that rule. I have to edit inside the takes. Another thing to keep in mind is if you've got a long line and you're not sure, you might want to say the first part of the line different ways and the second part of the line different ways. Very often, most mixers, I think, will actually be happy to take part of one line and part of another line and put them together. So you don't have to make every possible combination as long as you've given enough variation in the overall readings. And here's something we didn't talk about as a theme, but it occurred to me something very useful. When you are saying a line, you want to be cognizant of how the other characters are going to react to it. So, for example, when you're saying things like, it's kind of humiliating, you started getting a little bit serious on that. But if you looked at the script, you saw that Sherry was laughing, it should have hinted to you that you need to say it in a way that's very mocking, kind of over the top a little bit. Otherwise, you don't want to be in a position where you're saying something, you know, this really hurts, it was really humiliating, and she's laughing at you. Because at that point, that makes her character a bit of a bitch, which is probably not what we were hoping for. You had some lines where you just mispronounced words, but you gave me takes where you didn't. In most cases, except for one, there was a line that ends... Don't be selfish, Sherry. Share. Only what I heard every time was don't be selfish, share. Don't be selfish, share. Like as
oh,
though
it's
it was
her new nickname.
Right, as though it was her nickname. So I just cut that off because you didn't give me a single take with the line said correctly. This also, by the way, is a reason to send lines in early so you can get direction in case that happens to you. But here I'm just being, as I said, picky. This is something that nobody listening to the final product will ever know. And it's generally between you and the mixer. Only it's because of the nature of the show that I'm choosing to pull back the covers and let everybody know about it. But overall, it was an enjoyable scene. Well done. And we're going to have to... do some thinking to figure out who the winner of this round is.
This is hard.
Yeah, very seriously. Okay, this was a very nice episode. We're very pleased with what we heard from all four of you. We're very pleased that we did hear from all four of you. but after comparing the results of your performances...
I think before we do that, we should give everybody a big round of applause for making the finals and sticking all the way through this, because everybody did an amazing job. Yay!
And I think you guys all have something to be very proud of in what you did here. And over the season as well.
Yes.
But after looking at the results for both the monologues and the scenes... since we had to pick a winner, only one person can be the winner. Only one person can get this coveted role in Dreamcatcher. The winner of the first season of Acting Up is Temporary Butterfly.
Yay!
Congratulations, Temp. There are those of you who have been around Virtual Voice Hollywood for a while. Sorry, we changed the name. I keep forgetting.
You did it like 3 or 4 times, I would guess.
Know that we actually have badges for you to put in your signatures, in your forum signatures. We will be sending those out to you. You are not supposed to put them up for 3 days after the show goes up, so that it's not a spoiler for people who haven't listened yet. I may take 3 days to send them to you. They're very attractive. You will like them. Everybody gets one. The winner gets a winner badge, and everybody else gets a graduate badge because you have completed one season of acting up, and I hope that you will build on this and start auditioning for radio plays. I happen to know that there are a number of radio play groups that are really, really looking for female VAs. There are roles that you guys can take.
Mm-hmm. And I think I speak for both Russ and myself when I say that we would be really happy to see all and any of you come and, you know, audition for anything that we put up in the future. Or, you know, if you see anything that's going up, please, yes, please do audition, because you guys did a wonderful job this season, and you've all improved greatly, and it was a pleasure listening to all of you.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Okay, so season's over. Congratulations, graduates. I'm not going to sing the graduation march for you.
This is your graduation song. It isn't very long. Let me try that again. This is your graduation song. It isn't very long. Ta-da, there you go.
Okay, congratulations and good night to all.
Yay!